Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. October is Cybersecurity Month, and today on the podcast, we ask, how safe is your business and your customers when it comes to online security? It's a topic we return to because it's so vital for the success of anyone doing business online, and the threat only seems to be getting more pervasive. We're joined by Brian Vecchi, the technical evangelist for Varonis, a company that works with businesses of all sizes to address the challenges of cybersecurity. So, Brian, let me start by asking, what is a technical evangelist? What does Varonis do, and how do you work with them?
That's a great question. So I've been at Varonis since about 2010, so a little more than 8.5 years now. And I came to Varonis with a background in engineering and IT project management and systems architecture. So I had a bit of a technical background. And when I got here, I found that my role was spending a lot of time with our folks, Varonis, salespeople and engineers, our product people, and increasingly our customers in the market as a whole. So my job is to understand who Varonis is. What do we do? Why do we do it? Why do our customers use our products to solve some of the biggest problems that they face? That said, so what Varonis does is we help companies make sure that they know where their sensitive data is and that only the right people have access to it. And they monitor everything. So if something goes wrong, they know about it. Like when a user clicks on the wrong email and launches a ransomware attack, or an administrator starts behaving badly, or another insider starts behaving either by mistake accessing data they shouldn't, or maybe maliciously, or increasingly when someone from the outside gets in and starts accessing data. So our technology is designed to help make sure that our customers can, you know, secure their data appropriately and really identify when things go wrong. What we find these days is most companies have more data than they know what to do with, especially when it comes to file systems. It's the data set that they've got the most of and know the least about, and they can't really secure it properly.
Brian, let me ask, today, as you look at everything that's going on with cybersecurity, what would you say is the number one issue companies are facing?
The biggest problem that companies face is that too much of their data is open to far too many people and none of it's monitored. I'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So Varonis, we do risk assessments just as a matter of course. We do them, well, we've done them for almost all of our customers. We do them for any company that wants to, where we come in and we map out their data, show them where sensitive data is and who's got access to it and where it's exposed, and we start monitoring. And when it comes to file data, this is, 80% or more of the data that companies have these days is in spreadsheets and documents and PDFs and emails and presentations and things like that. And what we find consistently over and over and over again is that almost every company out there has far more sensitive, highly sensitive information, things like personally identifiable information like social security numbers and names and addresses or health records or financial data, credit cards that are in spreadsheets or what have you. And they've got more of this than they realize, far more than they realize. It's in places that they never expect. When it's on a file system, it's often never monitored, right? So they have no idea how this data is being accessed. And tons of it is open to just about anybody who wants to see it. Just to give you a statistic to put this in some context, 58% of the companies that we looked at as part of our global risk report last year had more than 100,000 folders. So, a folder can have, tens or dozens or hundreds of thousands of files in it. More than 100,000 folders that were open to everybody in the company. That means anybody who plugs into the wall or joins the Wi-Fi number can access this data. And almost half of companies had more than 1,000 sensitive files that were open to everybody. And, a lot of times we hear experts talking about, why do we see breach after breach after breach after breach? And it's because companies just have data that's open to everybody and they have no idea what's going on. And that's a huge problem.
Well, Brian, let's talk about some of the other threats businesses are dealing with, how criminals are invading the privacy of consumers and stealing data.
Not even a big business, even a small business is going to have W-2s and employment records and all kinds of information about their employees. And we do see that. We see some of the bigger breaches are based on employee data. But you're absolutely right. It's not just consumer information or other business information or partner information. It's also employee information, all of this kind of data. has been traditionally treated as something that's not necessarily all that valuable. So there aren't a lot of really strict security controls around a lot of this data. And that's why we see a lot of these really big breaches. It's also why we're seeing more and more government regulation designed to, I think, help companies keep this kind of data private, things like the California Consumer Privacy Act and the GDPR up in Europe.
So, and we'll get more into that. Certainly, I want to talk about what companies can do to deal with these threats and like you say, government regulations. Before we do that, let's talk about some of the other ways in which criminals are invading the privacy of consumers and stealing data.
Yeah, you hit on a really big point. It's not just outside attackers. It's also people on the inside of the network. So generally, the way this kind of information is exposed or breached in some way by an attacker, whether they're outside or inside, is somebody wants to get inside the network, you know, either brute forcing their way through the perimeter, the firewall, for instance. Once they get inside, they want to do what's called escalating their privileges. They want to find a way to get access to a set of credentials, a login and password that's got access to information. What they then do is they often move laterally around the network or horizontally. What that means is that they're, you know, they may have access to one system or one share, data share, and they want to get access to more. They want to go find what other kinds of data they can access. And then they do what's called exfiltrate that data, getting it back out. The trick with an insider is that they're already inside the network, right? They don't have to break in. And for when, you know, a lot of this data is open to everybody, they don't have to do much to escalate their privileges. They've already got access to tons of stuff. So then it becomes easy to exfiltrate the data, to, you know, take a bunch and dump it down to a USB stick or send it off to a Gmail account or to you know, another website where they can dump data. The thing for an outside attacker is that all they really need to do is get access to a single user's credential inside the network.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be an administrator. It can be anybody who clicks on the wrong email, and suddenly an outside attacker has basically the keys to the kingdom. If you look at a lot of the more recent breaches, especially the bigger ones, like the OPM breach, which is a government breach of tons of highly personal, sensitive information, it was because a couple of attackers were inside the network for months and were completely undetected and had access to all kinds of information that was wide open. Same thing happened with Sony a few years ago, one of the bigger breaches, one of the more salacious ones. The North Korean attackers got inside, and because none of their systems were really monitored very well, and because so much of that data was left wide open, they had months to go and carefully find everything highly sensitive that they could, and then slowly send it outside the network, not tripping any alarms, until finally they decided to shut everything down and basically put Sony out of business for a little while.
But companies can't necessarily just rely on, I mean, all of their employees all of the time not to click on something. It's very easy to get in a situation where something looks legit. But so will Varonis then work with companies to set up restrictions so that, you know, a website won't open, that ransomware won't be exposed to a company?
You're 100% right. I've even been hit by a phishing email. Thankfully, it was an internal test.
Yeah.
I travel so much that I have lots of expenses, and my IT department knew that, and they sent me an email that said expense rejected. And I clicked on it, and it was a phishing test, right?
Yeah.
So if it had
been
something real, then an attacker would have had access to my credentials. So you're 100% right. End user training and making sure that your users know what they should and shouldn't be clicking on, how they should behave, is critically important. But it's not a solution to all these problems. What companies need to do is they need to understand where their sensitive data is, and they need to make sure that only the right people have access to it. Data that's open to everybody is exposed to anybody that makes a mistake. But there's really no reason, for instance, that I should have access to highly sensitive financial or HR information, right? There's no reason for that data to be open to me. So what companies can do is work to make sure that only the right people have access to just what they're supposed to do their jobs. And everything is monitored and analyzed appropriately. What companies really need to do is start thinking of data, which is really the target for all these attacks.
Yeah.
Nobody's breaking into a company to steal their, you know, their network logs, for instance, or something else that's worthless to them. They're breaking in because they want to get access to data. So companies need to start treating their data more like a business asset, something. So, you know, so a lot of companies traditionally have thought of data as something that just belongs to IT, right? If if my, like my laptop or my phone or the network or the, you know, the file servers or the servers themselves, those are IT assets. Those are things that on a balance sheet fall under information technology. And if something goes wrong with one of them, you call up Dell or HP or whoever else you're, you know, you're contracted with to replace it, because it's a capital asset that if it breaks, you know, if something goes wrong, you can replace it. Yeah. Data isn't like that though. The actual contents of a file, like if you've got a bunch of customer information that's in an Excel spreadsheet that was created to do some sort of financial analysis or report, that data isn't an IT asset. That data is a business asset and has real value. It also has real risk associated with it. So if there's a breach, you know, that's gonna mean real costs, both in recovery and in the brand damage of having that kind of sensitive information breached. So what companies need to do is start treating that data more like a business asset. Imagine if a business treated the money in their financial accounts like they treat their file data. Everybody's got access to everything. None of it's monitored. They'd have no idea who the budget owners were. Nobody would ever see a bank statement. And these, you know, a company would go out of business if it treated money that way. And companies are now realizing that keeping data private and secure, and those are two separate things, but keeping data private and secure is a competitive advantage, and treating their data more like a business asset, knowing exactly who's got access to it and making sure that people who don't need access to it don't have it, monitoring everything, like really down to if I open a file or access a file or delete it or move it, that's recorded. And if I start behaving strangely, they know about it, right? Your credit card company knows a lot about you. It knows who you are, where you live, what you buy, where you shop, when you shop. And really critically, banks and credit card companies look at every single transaction, every dollar, every penny that goes in and out of your account, right? So they know when something goes wrong, right? Somebody starts out using your credit card strangely, that's going to raise a flag and they're going to shut it off. Somebody starts accessing a bank account strangely, you better believe the bank is going to know that something's going wrong.
Right.
Really smart companies are now treating their data in that way. So when an administrator whose job it is to have access to everything so that they can, you know, they can configure and fix problems, starts accessing employee records or financial data in a strange way, or a user that normally behaves like a user, opens a file and saves it and works 9 to 5 generally, suddenly at 2 a.m. from a strange country, from a device that the network has never seen, starts accessing a bunch of sensitive data that that user has never accessed before, right? All of that is going to indicate that something strange is going on. Or when somebody clicks on the wrong email, like we've been talking about, and a human being starts behaving like a machine and opening up files and encrypting them, maybe because they clicked on the wrong email and now they've launched what we call a ransomware attack where we lock down all the data until, you know, you pay some Bitcoin. All of these things are relatively easy to identify and respond to if you've got the right kinds of what we call detective controls in place. If you can detect them happening, you can respond much more quickly and intelligently. But for a lot of companies, they don't have these detective controls. And there's, you know, there's a sister to that. A preventive control is, should you have access to this in the first place? So good, you know, smart companies are putting good detection controls in place and then making sure that they've got the right kinds of preventive controls in place. And a big part of that, to go back to treating data more like a business asset, a big part of that is having what we call data owners, people in the organization, in the business, who aren't in IT or in IT security. These are people who understand this is what this data is and what it's for, and I know who should and shouldn't have access to it. Identifying and starting to involve these kinds of data owners goes a long way towards helping businesses, again, have more of a competitive advantage and getting more value out of their data, but also reducing the risk to it and treating it more like something valuable.
So let me ask, as we look at this age of so many threats, really smart criminals and companies and people like yourself who are working with businesses to try to fight this, you know, there's government regulations in place that some businesses or a lot of businesses are going to have to step up to the bat to make sure that consumer data is safe. What are you doing at Varonis? And we touched on this at the beginning, to address issues and threats. And as a follow-up to that question, is a lot of your work done after a company has experienced a breach?
Oh, just a couple of really great questions. So a lot of what I'm doing these days is, as an evangelist, is helping educate the market and our customers and, you know, prospective customers what these new privacy regulations mean. So the GDPR is a great place to start. It's been on the tip of everybody's tongue for a couple of years now, and it just went into effect. A lot of companies in the U.S. were under the impression that the GDPR, which is an EU regulation, the General Data Protection Regulation,
right,
It only applied to companies in the European Union, but now everybody's realizing, actually, no, that's not the case. The EU applies to any company that has the personal data of European citizens, which is a lot of U.S. companies, whether they've got a physical presence in the EU or not. So they're subject to those regulations. But what they're realizing is that the GDPR and similar regulations in New York, the New York Department of Financial Services has a new regulation for companies that do financial business in New York. California just announced that the California Consumer Protection Act is going to go into effect in 2020, and it has a lot of the same kinds of controls. All of these regulations, both the ones that are in effect, that are going to go into effect, and the ones that are going to be created in response to these, boil down to basically saying you need to treat the personal data of consumers and citizens like something valuable. You need to, you know, make sure you know why you're collecting it. If you don't need it anymore, you need to delete it. You need to make sure that you have what's called privacy by design, which basically says make sure that it's not exposed to everybody and do your best to make sure that the right people have access to it and monitor how it's used, because you can't catch what you can't see. So you can't catch a breach if you're not monitoring something, and it's really difficult to manage anything that you're not monitoring either. So monitor how it's used, and if something goes wrong, if there's a breach, you can't wait months or years to tell us about it. You actually only have 72 hours to let people know, hey, there was a breach and here's exactly what happened, which means you have to have these kinds of controls in place. So what Varonis is doing, we have built a technology platform that was designed from the ground up specifically to solve these kinds of issues with regard to data. We monitor everything, and we identify when something goes wrong. We map every access control or permission to every file and folder, so we know where sensitive data is and where it's exposed. We can help you figure out who it belongs to, and then we can give you the ability to let data owners start making good decisions about data. The thing for us was we built this platform in 13, 14 years ago to start trying to solve some of these problems, because we realized that the problem of data, of securing data from the inside out, rather than trying to just build bigger fences, bigger firewalls, 87% of security spending traditionally has been at the perimeter of the network, which basically says, if we can keep everybody out, then we're going to be okay. But we see that that's not a viable strategy anymore.
Right.
So Varonis built a platform to kind of solve these issues. And then it turns out the GDPR and other similar privacy acts are the best advertisement for what we do that we could have possibly hoped for. We didn't build a set of products or a solution for the GDPR. The GDPR was built to address the problems that we've been solving for a while. And I mentioned a little while ago that privacy and security are a little bit different. The GDPR and California Privacy Act, what they're basically saying is that you need to keep, if you're an organization that has sensitive information about consumers or citizens, you need to keep it private. You need to treat it like something valuable. But in order to keep something private, you also need to have it be secure. So here's the analogy that I like to use. My passport, and I've got a couple of them because I'm actually an EU citizen, but my passport is something sensitive and private to me, right? If I give it to you and you look me in the eye and you say, Brian, I'm going to keep this information private. Don't you worry. I'm going to keep it private. I've got all kinds of policies in place that says, here's who should and shouldn't have access to it. And here's how this information should be used. But then you take my passport and you walk into the middle of Central Park and you put it down, and then you walk away and leave it there for a couple of weeks. You may be doing all you can. You may be saying that you're keeping my data private, but if you're not keeping it secure, if you're letting anybody take a look at it and you're not recording who actually looks at it or who takes a picture of it or makes a photocopy or just walks off with it, if you're not doing any of that, then you're not keeping my data secure. And if you're not keeping my data secure, you can't keep my data private.
Let's say Yeah, it's a frightening analogy.
Yeah. And it's how companies have been treating this kind of information. But really, again, really smart companies are looking at the GDPR and other regulations as an opportunity, because who wants to do business, whether you're a consumer or another business, right? Who wants to do business with a company that can't keep your information private and safe? And so what we're seeing is the companies that are taking these new regulations as an opportunity to go and secure their data so that they can keep it private, have a competitive advantage over everybody else, because this is the way the wind is blowing. No, we're not going to live in a world where everybody's just going to accept that, hey, if I give you my information and it gets breached, that's probably going to happen anyway. Nobody wants the private information breach. No company that does business with you, especially if you've got access to their intellectual property, they're not going to want to do business with you if they think that there's a big risk of your data getting breached. And so one of the things that we're seeing increasingly over the last few years is companies that are starting to do business with new vendors are saying, hey, what do you do to make sure that our data is secure and safe? And because Varonis is in a position where we can prove that we know exactly who's got access to what data, who it belongs to, how it's used, and when something goes wrong, is that we're involved in a lot of these kinds of conversations. And we're seeing that the companies that do this are a big step ahead of over everybody else.
And Brian, where can folks go to learn more about what you're doing and more about Varonis?
Varonis.com is absolutely the best place. I'm on Twitter, Brian the Vecchi. You can follow me. I talk about Varonis a lot. But if you go to Varonis.com, there's lots of videos. And we've got a podcast that I've been on before, run by the great Cindy Ng, who's been at Varonis almost as long as I have. We've got, we're a company that's growing so fast that sometimes I don't even know all the wonderful things that we're doing. But there's plenty for people to learn. And I would really encourage anybody who's interested in what we do, if any of this resonates with you at all, I think about signing up for a risk assessment. If you go to Varonis.com/risk assessment, I think. Although if you just go to Varonis.com, there's probably something right on the front page.
Sure.
If you do a risk assessment, it's something that's really, really, it's not intrusive. We come in, it takes a couple of hours to get working. And then after a couple of weeks, we'll map everything and monitor it. And we'll come in and review the results with you. We'll show you exactly where your sensitive data is, where it's exposed. We'll show you what data is being used and what's not. And we'll show you where you might be at risk and how you can start to tighten things down. And the great thing for businesses is it's totally free. It's something that we do because it teaches us a lot about how companies are thinking about data. So it's something that we want to do, and we provide it as a free service.
Brian, thanks a ton for joining us. We appreciate it. Lots of information for people to think about there.
Thank you so much for the time. It's been a pleasure.
And if you'd like to learn more about the Better Business Bureau, visit us at bbb.org. For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.